La La is right.
The holidays are over.
No, it is not, Jerry. None. This is not. The holidays are not over. Christmas is over. That's a little emotional for all of us. How's your Christmas, Jerry? None.
It was good. It was good. I went to my friend DJ Greg's house from Berlin.
The great DJ Greg. Okay.
Yeah. He's the main DJ at Berlin, a manager, and he cooked a mean dinner, turkey, everything, tons of food.
He rocked it.
And I went to a vegan dinner the night before, so it's like I went from no meat to a lot of meat.
You're a man that can go any which way. I'll have a vegan, I'll have a turkey dinner. Welcome in, by the way. This is WGN Nightside with you till 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Harmon. He is Jerry Nunn. Ari Halpern is our producer tonight. Good evening to you, Ari.
Hi, happy to be here.
Ari, this is the first time I've ever worked with you. You seem very intelligent out of the gates. I'm kind of intimidated by
you.
I'm
not at all, but thank you.
He went to Michigan,
yeah, but
Jerry.
It's different for people in state. You know, we just need like a 23 on our ACTs. Everyone else needs a 29.
So okay, he's downgrading himself, though, Jerry. I couldn't get into Michigan. Could you get into Michigan? Did you go to? Are you a smart guy?
No. I went to Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky is not Michigan.
It's very different.
I don't know if they're watching the stream right now, but Jerry, you do this slightly odd thing with the headphones. You hold one ear. You don't put them on your head. There's something going on over there. We did an overnight show a couple Saturdays ago. I didn't understand it then. I don't understand it now. Please explain.
I don't know. It's some kind of, maybe I saw it from WKRP in Cincinnati when I was a kid or something, you know. I don't know where it comes from, but I can't even like hear through these right now. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, you can't hear through the headphones? Well,
yeah.
Okay. Well, paging Brett Jackson, engineer extraordinaire, he will come to the rescue here and you will be able to hear, I hope. I think we have that capability here.
I hope so.
In these beautiful new studios that we get to do shows from. Busy show tonight. We are going to, you got a magician coming in here at 9:30, Jerry, and this is going to work on the radio, we promise.
Yeah. Supposedly he's got some great tricks for us that work on the radio.
Okay. If you have to leave the show at any moment in time, make sure you're back at 9:30, because tricks that work on the radio, you don't find that on every show. Yep. And 8:10 tonight, this is a conversation that I've been wanting to have. I'm going to be honest. Heather Long is going to be with us. She's an economics correspondent with the Washington Post. Before joining the Post, she was a senior economics reporter at CNN. The mark was up 8,000 points today.
That's crazy.
And it was down 8,000 the day before. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are worried about your financial future, I think we got to have a little conversation here about what's going on. So hopefully we will be enlightened by Heather a little bit after 8 o'clock.
Excellent.
Do you have money in the market? Are you nervous about the market? I know some people, they don't even pay attention to it because they don't have the funds in there, which is, I think, a nice, more peaceful way to live, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't. I have my 401k at the Tribune, and that's about it.
Okay. So you don't pay attention.
Nah.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are paying attention. There's 1,000 points for the real numbers today as the U.S. markets rebounded sharply after a Christmas Eve sell-off, which was down over 600 points. The market's crazy right now, so we'll do that at 8:10. What we're going to start with, though, is, I think we got an issue here, Jerry.
Yes, what is it?
Well, I think that all of us at WGN, from Larry Wirt to Todd Manley to Stephanie Tishner to Ari to Jerry to myself, I think it's fair to say that we would all like to apologize to a 7-year-old on behalf of the President of the United States, who was trying to do a good thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly he was, actually. He was trying to do a good thing. He was on the phone. He was making Christmas calls. He was, hey, you get to talk to the big Donald Trump here. But then he called up this young man, 7-year-old Coleman Lloyd.
Okay.
And we have the audio here. This was the call. The president's calling to wish you a Merry Christmas. I believe. Maybe.
Oh, that's really good. You just have a good time. Are you still a believer in Santa? Is it 7? It's marginal, right? You just enjoy yourself. Where are you from, Coleman?
All right, so that, hold on. That was the Donald audio. And if you couldn't hear it clearly, he said, "Are you still a believer in Santa?" to a 7-year-old on the phone who he's never met. Because at 7, it's marginal, right?
Like, yeah.
I don't even know what marginal means. Do you know what marginal means? Ari, you went to Michigan. Do you know what marginal means?
Nope.
I mean, what does that mean in reference to Santa? It's marginal?
Yeah. I mean, I think I knew when I was 6, but I don't know. Maybe that's what he's saying.
You knew when you at 6 that Santa was not.
Yeah.
That Santa. And by the way, a public, you know, just a whole, of, you know, full disclosure here. We're going to be talking about Santa and whether or not he exists. So we have anybody who's having, you know, if you don't have that discussion around that, then this is not the station for you right now because we do not want to ruin anything. This was the child audio.
We'll probably put out some cookies and then we're hanging out with our friends. So that's pretty much all.
Well, that's very good. Well, you just have a good time.
Yes, sir.
Are you still a believer in Santa?
Yes, sir.
Because at 7, it's marginal, right?
Yes, sir.
Elker Catcher, you guys say hi to Mr. President.
Enjoy yourself. Hi. Where are you from, Norman?
Is that not unbelievable? I mean, look, we have a guy who is, he's starting a tariff war. He's cutting taxes. I don't know where that's coming from. That's okay, Ari, no problem. There's a million reasons here. Perhaps, you know, Russia, all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this, people get very angry when you talk poorly about the president. But I mean, of everything he's done for those who want Trump to be impeached or just be, just to spotlight him for look at what he's doing. To tell a 7-year-old that or basically tell him that there is no Santa. This could be the worst one here, Jerry.
Yeah.
This could be the bottom of the barrel.
That's pretty tough. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, let's put it in perspective, you know? I mean, when did you know about Santa? What's your story?
I think I was tipped off on Santa at a very early age. I remember, you know, being, I think, you know, I'm Jewish. We do Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. I remember being very, very jealous of Christmas. And so, like, the kids that were still enjoying it, I kind of wanted to ruin it for them. You don't really believe in Santa, do you? There's no way your parents are giving you those gifts. Like, I wanted to be that kid. But I do think I had the ability to not do that. I think my next door neighbors, we were great family friends. I'd be over there. They had the tree and I wanted to tell them, but I was not going to tell young Sean Penrod that there wasn't any Santa.
Right.
But yet here we go. 72-year-old Donald Trump is calling up a 7-year-old. Can I hear that again, please? The child version. Can we get that one more time? That was amazing. That's truly, this is unprecedented stuff here, Jerry. Has the president of the United States ever told a kid that there wasn't Santa?
I don't think so. No.
This is unbelievable.
We'll probably put out some cookies and then we're hanging out with our friends. So that's pretty much all.
Well, that's very good. Well, you just have a good time.
Yes, sir.
Are you still a believer in Santa?
Yes, sir.
Because at 7, it's marginal, right?
Yes, sir.
Elker Catcher, you...
Because it's 7. It's marginal. 312-981-7200. Is this the worst thing that Donald Trump has ever done? For the people who love the Don, is this something that's like, you know what? Everything else he's done, I'm down with. But this one, telling a 7-year-old that Santa is marginal, I can't get up with that. I saw that. What did you give me? Our Dan Rather had a tweet out there. What's more marginal, a 7-year-old believing in Santa or a 72-year-old not believing in climate change? I thought that was pretty good from good old Dan.
Yeah, he's trying to, you know, compare the things. But, I mean, it's just a wild time to live right now. I'm fighting with people on Facebook about politics, and that's just not the fun way to treat the holiday, right?
I mean, come on, man. Mm-hmm. This is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's a lot of ways we could go with this. We do have to take a quick time out here, and I want to get your headphones set up, Jerry, so you can, like, live the dream and actually... Jerry's just, like, darting around the studio at different mics where he can hear. So we'll get that set up. But 312-981-7200. Two questions. Number one, is this the worst thing that Donald has done, telling a 7-year-old there isn't Santa? And number two, how did you find out that Santa wasn't real? What memories do you have of when you realized that nobody actually was really coming down the chimney?
No, I mean, my parents told me.
Did they really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here, let's. I want to hear more.
Well, that's good. Will you just have a good time?
Yes, sir.
Are you still a believer in Santa?
Yes, sir.
Because it's 7-inch margin, all right?
Yes, sir.
Elicker Catcher, you feel the cold. I wonder if you ever see the sun.
You close your eyes and hope that this is just a That's so good. Do you believe in Santa? No. Yes, I do, Mr. President. Of course, yes, sir. Because it's marginal. Marginal. By the way, this is WGN Radio. This is the Nightside. Mark Harmon and Jerry Nunn with you as we'll take you till 10. Jerry, I'm going to give you a quiz right now.
Mm-hmm.
What does marginal mean?
Marginal?
As defined by the Webster World of Dictionary Situational.com.
I would think barely getting by.
Related to or situated at the end or margin or something of something.
On the margin, yeah. Okay.
It's on the margin. Mm-hmm. So at 7, you should know that Santa is not real, apparently, according to Donald, right? That's what we're getting at here?
That's what he's saying, yes.
That's what he's saying? Mm-hmm. Okay. 312-981-7200. Has Donald Trump ever done anything worse than what he did yesterday?
I mean, he has all these kids. He has all these kids. Like, you think he would be better with handling a child, right?
Right.
Speaking to one.
you would think. There's an interesting text that's coming in from the 630. My second grade class was told there was no Santa by our music teacher, and some kids bowed their heads in sadness and defeat.
Oh.
But that's part of the question here. Like, when were you told, when did you learn that Santa wasn't real?
Mm-hmm.
And you could throw the tooth fairy in there, too. I mean, maybe he's going to start calling up kids when they lose their teeth.
Yeah.
You know, the tooth fairy.
But, yeah, I mean, it is a tough day when you find that out. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
I mean, he's doing a lot of... There was a good one today of the Don that just came out in the news about an hour ago. Mm-hmm. President Donald Trump and the White House communications team revealed that a U.S. Navy SEAL team was deployed to Iraq after the president secretly traveled to the region to meet with American forces serving in the combat zone for the first time since being elected to office. Navy SEALs, normally you don't reveal their identity by taking pictures with them. It's covert ops. You don't put them on your Twitter feed.
Right.
While the commander-in-chief can declassify information, usually the presence of a special operations unit to include showing their faces would not be revealed to the American public, especially while the U.S. service members were still deployed, which is what these people are still deployed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is like, I don't know if the Santa thing is as bad as he's letting the world know who our U.S. Navy SEALs are on his Twitter account. That's a brilliant
move.
That's
putting people in danger.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And by the way, you know, great job calling up kids on Christmas Day, and good job flying out to Iraq to honor the troops. That's all sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, we're having a little bit of an issue here with letting the people know who the Navy SEALs are, and then the Santa thing.
Everything's transparent with this guy. Everything.
Yeah.
Twitter, everything. But the bone spurs was a big thing, too, today. They were talking about how it was revealed that possibly it was a family doctor that had, you know, fibbed the whole thing about the bone spurs.
Oh, right. That was a good one, too.
Yeah.
But so, like, that one, I mean, a lot of people tried to get out of being in the Vietnam War. He used his power, his dad's power, to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not an American thing to do.
Right.
Not of high morality. But like I saw, you know, he was. I'm more apt to be offended by the Santa than what he was doing at 22. 847. Mm-hmm. First of all, this is old news for the day. Second, Trump didn't say Santa is marginal. He said the age of 7 is marginal. And he knew she wouldn't know what he knew she didn't know what he meant and wouldn't ruin her belief in Santa.
Hmm.
Now, how do you know, sir, from the 847, that what Donald knew and didn't know?
Right.
How would you exactly? Are you maybe you're great friends with them? That's entirely possible, but I'm gonna doubt that. 312. My kindergarten nun told the class, but I refuse to believe.
Oh, the nun. Well, you know how that goes.
The kindergarten nun. Team, Santa's not real.
And then she spanked him with a ruler. Wow.
Yeah. These are This is the time we're living in here, Jerry.
That's tough love. That's what it is.
217 texting in. I'm 59 and believe in Santa. Congratulations. That's awesome. By the way, believing in the miracle of the holiday season. That's also.
Yeah, I mean, I met a bunch of Santas over Christmas.
Did you really?
He was everywhere.
Yeah, I mean,
all different types.
I saw Santas. There was a viral video of Santas getting in a brawl. Did you see that one?
No.
Yeah, there was like six Santas. They all. I don't know what happened. They were something went awry.
Oh no!
And next thing you know, Santa was going after Santa, and the other Santa was jumping in, and we had a brawl of Santas.
Oh my gosh!
It's Googleable. I recommend it if you're into that sort of thing.
You want to see Santa's fight?
You want to see Santa's
spirit
fight.
Of Christmas?
Hey, a reminder from all of us at WGN, you've all had dreams growing up of seeing your name up in lights or on the marquee of the Chicago Theater, even written out with the stars in the night sky. Even though the stars won't actually spell out your name, we have a product that can fulfill those dreams. It's the 2019 Chicago Personalized Calendars. They're back and available now at WGNRadio.com. Made to order with any name you choose, artistically incorporated into Chicago's legendary scenes that it was part of an actual photograph. Produced by our friends at 2Ks, these new calendars will help you stay organized as well, give you a sense of awe. You can give this thoughtful gift that lasts year-long, and best yet, remind someone how much they mean to you while they use it every day. To order yours, visit WGNRadio.com and scroll to the feature section. Check out how you can become a part of Chicago. Did they give you one, Jerry? Did you get a Jerry Nunn 2Ks calendar?
I need one.
We got to get that done.
Yeah, we'll make that happen.
Let's go to upper management. Let's take a quick time out. Get you into news next. 720 WGN. WGN 7:37 WGN Nightside. Mark Carmen and Jerry Nunn. Hey, Don, by the way, if you don't want me interrupting your news, you can just tell me to shut up and stay in my lane, by the way. It's your news, and you own it, buddy.
Not at all, Carm. I am more than happy to have a little bit of that, to have another, spoon stirring the soup here.
There we go.
That's much appreciated, actually.
D. Rose, 5 of 8, 10 points, Jerry Nunn, 5 assists. He's 0 for 2 from the three-point line. Are you a Derrick Rose guy? I know you are. Deep down.
Oh, sure.
Right?
See? Do you like him? You like him, yeah.
I do. Okay. Youngest MVP in the history of the league.
Nice.
A lot of people in Chicago, for some reason, don't like Derrick Rose. Bothers me, but that's probably not a conversation for right now. So Christmas is over, Don. You have to move forward in life, right?
Yeah.
It's not about the past, it's about the future.
Absolutely.
It's not about 2018, it's about 2019.
2019, yes.
Right. You know, right. It's not about, but it's also about being in the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're here right now, me and you.
Yeah. Right in between Christmas and New Year's.
Right. Ari's here, Don's here. People are listening to the show. It's all about right now.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is we're building a plan for 2019. How do you move forward? Maybe you got the gift you wanted. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you actually gave the gift to your loved one that you wanted to do, or to your friend or to your coworker or whoever.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe you came up short. But all that is water under the bridge. How do you move forward from here? So I'd like to hear your plan.
Well, I took down my Christmas tree this morning.
Did you really?
Is that too soon?
Wow.
A lot of people wait till like the first, right?
That's an interesting question. I'd actually like to know I don't have this experience because, the menorah just hangs out. You don't really have to take anything down.
Right.
But 312-981-7200, let me just throw that out there. Did Jerry make a...
Bold move.
That's bold. It's premature almost. I mean, when do you take down the tree? I can't believe you did that already.
I haven't done it this early before, but I was just like, you know what? I'm going to clean up the house, say goodbye, it's over, it was yesterday, and start again,
Feels like you're sort of in like a cleanse over there, Jerry.
A little bit, yeah. I cleaned the house. I had the day off from the Tribune for a change. It was like really nice to be home. And getting ready for New Year's because I'm DJing. DJ Nunn is in the house.
Where will DJ Nunn be in the house?
I'm going to be in Wisconsin at a country club.
Wisconsin Country Club, Nunn in the house.
Yeah, I have a big following in Wisconsin. Very big.
Do you really?
This is my first gig.
Oh.
No, this is my first gig. I will.
What's the country club, and can I sneak in?
Oh, it's private. So, no, security would probably take care of you.
I'm pretty good, Don.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know why I just called you Don. Don, I meant Jerry. Don, you're in the newsroom. Jerry, you're right in front of me.
My middle name's Don, though.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's Jerry Don.
Jerry Don Nunn?
Yeah. Yes, my mom named me two nicknames.
JDN?
It's not Gerald Donald. It is Jerry Don. She's very country from Oklahoma.
Jerry Don, my man.
Jerry Don, get in here right now.
Is that how it went?
That's how she talks.
Interesting. Have you seen, just rando thoughts going through my head. Have you seen Green Book? I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, I told you about it. Do you remember? We talked about all the movies.
You told me to go see Green Book?
Yeah, it was on my top 10. Well, somebody tweeted in about it.
And okay.
Yeah, I said it was really good. It's on my top 10.
I loved it. I really...
Did you? I thought you would.
I enjoyed my Christmas. That was probably the highlight of my Christmas, a little green.
Aww.
I got chastised, by the way, in the movie theater for having reactions. Like, there would be something sweet that would be on the screen. I'd be like, oh. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of it was the Logan Theater, kind of a small theater,
yeah,
maybe
theater.
10,
yeah.
12 rows, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I got, my girlfriend said, you can't do that. You're like the loudest guy in here. And I thought I was being a leader of emotion of what was going on the screen, just calling people out to really experience the film. But maybe I was wrong.
You're used to sports games, okay? That's why it's a movie. You have to be quiet. I went on a date the other night to that J-Lo movie and this guy was talking the whole time. I was like, okay, dude, we need to reel it back. No talking in the movie.
Well, see, that's the thing.
It's like a deal breaker.
See, talking.
It is. It was done. I was done. I was like, we're leaving.
So you were instantly out on this date situation because he was talking too much.
Yeah, you can't talk in the movie like the whole time. And then even when I was trying to ignore it and tried to be cool, you know, he's like, well, I'm going to go talk to this person over here. I'm like, okay, go.
So, but that's, I think that is a legit reason to end something right there, because if you don't have a sense of when you can talk and when you can't talk in public, that's just gonna drive you crazy.
Yeah, and I can't bring them to a play, or like, can you imagine the critics? I usually sit with the critics too. They're gonna eat them alive. That's not good. Yeah, so the future was over.
Yeah, you were thinking about your future, and you did not see that working out for you.
No.
As we're trying to build a future for everybody here after Christmas, so we pulled this one article, and it says, consumers have spent the better part of the past month shopping and spending, but if the bargain hunter in you isn't quite satiated... Which it's not in me. I feel like I got some money to
burn.
I mean, I got everybody nothing. One of the cheapest holiday seasons that I've ever had. I'm very proud of this, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, how much? What do I got? I bought a backpack for the girlfriend, a nice tennis backpack. I tipped the doorman, and that's about it.
Okay.
I didn't get anything for anyone in my family.
Wow.
I don't think I get anybody.
I thought like Hanukkah was all the different presents that you open them up. One after the other?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, no. That's not the family that I come from. We don't do gifts.
Oh.
The Carmen family is just terrible at gifts. I didn't get anything from anybody either, by the way.
Uh-huh.
So that's like it all. For me, that's fine. I would like to sign a pact. You don't give me gifts. I don't give you gifts. We're good.
Uh-huh. Huh. I've been to like some Jewish households, and they had all the presents, and I go, where's my present? And they're like, oh, Hanukkah Jerry's here. They're calling me Hanukkah Jerry.
Yeah, because
I wanted my Hanukkah present.
Yeah, well, if you were coming over for a Hanukkah party, Jerry, I'd have something for you. At least a dreidel.
Excellent.
Just a trinket for you to
perfect.
Know, go home and feel like you're a part of the crew. So here's what we got for you. This is what you can buy right now, according to, this is from Forbes. Very important for you looking for bargains out there. We got toys and games. Retailers load up with the toys in the weeks leading up to the holidays, but the market drops off after Christmas. So if you want to get the hottest toys of the season, now's the time to buy them. How you feel about buying some toys here, Jerry? You down?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they said that people spent more this Christmas than they have in previous Christmas.
That's true. People were, you know, the taxes are down. People got a little extra.
People were spending.
They got that dough. How are you doing on your winter clothing? You got some winter clothing needs?
Yeah. I like Marshalls. Okay. Talk about like, I like that bargain.
I love Marshalls.
I got these pants there. Yeah.
Marshalls is an elite place to shop.
If you really dig, you can find some great stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Ari, you're smiling. And there you're a Marshalls guy. You look more like a J. Crew. You're like a Gap guy. I can't hear you. Hang on a second.
Thanks for the compliment. But no, actually, I like TJ Maxx and a little bit of Bloomingdale's.
Okay.
Max Bloomingdale combo.
I got that.
It's a good combo.
Yeah.
Max for the minimum.
What about you? Where do you shop?
Oh, I like Marshalls, and then my favorite guy I go big time like once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I probably do it like once every 3 years. But I got one guy who comes in. He comes from Thailand.
Okay.
And you can get to, and he has like a hotel room in the city. And you go in there. He measures you out,
uh-huh,
the extra 5 pounds that Carm's put on in the last 6 months. And then he hooks up the shirt and the suits. And then they mail it to you.
This sounds a little shady, though.
Perhaps
is this
a little
shady.
Perhaps a little shady, but an outstanding price, and I really like the clothing. It's a good look. That's what I like to do.
And it's cheap as this, like,
yeah. And then I like to walk into Marshalls and buy some terrible, some discounted sports shirt, and I'm good to go.
Right.
And I'm getting more into the online, Amazon purchase.
Me too.
But I can't do that anymore.
It feels lazy already. Like, I'm buying shampoo and stuff. I'm like, I really should be going out to buy the shampoo. I should not be having it sent to my house. Do you know what I mean? And then I'm getting kind of fear right now because the holidays are out and the kids and the families are all over the place, and I'm scared to go shopping because I think they're just going to be running rampant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I mean, walking over to the studio, there was tourists and people from out of town doing silly things.
And you got things to do. You got trees to take down.
Yeah.
You don't
out of my way. It's 2019.
You're an efficient Jerry Nunn. Here, just to wrap it up here before we get to a quick timeout. Winter clothing, you should buy that now. You need a new coat, go get it now. Gloves, slippers, something that you need for a little warmth. Candles are apparently a good buy right now.
Huh.
Anything seasonal, dramatically reduced. Get yourself a nice candle, a good smell for the house, like the pine scented ones. You might not, you don't even have to use it until next year, of course, but that's there for
people
you.
People buy so many candles, though. They overcandle it.
You think they do. They do too
yes.
many candles?
Yeah, they have candles everywhere. What are they doing with all these candles?
It sets the mood, Jerry.
Does it? Kind of mood? Grandma's bathroom?
I think one candle. I'm with you, though. Uh-huh. All you need is one candle.
Yeah.
But what happens if you got like a large room, you want to have a candle in the middle?
Like a seance or what?
Yeah. I'm thinking like Bull Durham, many candles.
Oh.
I don't know if
you're thinking like, oh.
Yeah, that level of candle.
Romantic.
Yeah, romantic candle. Aren't all candles supposed to be romantic?
What about those electronic candles that say, do you know about those? That
I don't.
They have
the electronic candle.
Yeah, they're like battery operated, but they look like candles. They flicker and do all that.
Yeah, that's not going to work for me. What's the point of a battery operated candle? I need a good smell in the house.
You
want
to set the bedroom on fire,
or the living room, or
wherever it takes you.
Right, and then a good candle in the bathroom is always a good functioning situation too. Right.
Do you like music going on when you get romantic?
Do I like? Well, Jerry, that's a personal question. Do I like music going on? I haven't experienced that in a long time, Jerry. Maybe need to up my creativity.
Yeah, for the girlfriend for 2019.
Seems a little personal, but why? Are you saying that music is a key component?
I mean, I think so. I just had talked about that recently to a friend of mine. Like, what's the kind of music that gets you in the mood?
Like Sade? Is that what you go
yeah,
with?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to bump back with Sade coming back here.
Yes.
After a quick timeout at 720 WGN. I'm talking about Sade.
Yes. I gave you all that I have inside, and you took my
love. You took my love. Yeah, well, Jerry Nunn brought up the topic. We might as well roll with it, right? At WGN Nightside, 720 WGN with you till 10. We're going to be talking about the stock market in 10 minutes, so that's going to kill.
It's going to be a big transition.
It's going to kill the
from
buzz.
Sade.
But so, yes, what music do you listen to when you want to get in the mood?
Yeah.
And do you listen to music, period? I got text line here, 312-981-7200. My girlfriend tried Barry White on me once. I said never again. Dude's voice deeper than mine. That's a no-no.
Oh, you can't beat Barry White.
So that's a guy getting intimidated by the music and losing his mojo.
He has a lot to live up to. Barry White. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I see it. If you if you don't have that confidence rolling, Barry could ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
312-981-7200, music that puts you in the mood. This show can go anywhere at any moment. Jerry, you want
it? It could.
What do you got?
Well, in college, my roommate played The Cure, so we would hear that blasting Disintegration album.
The Cure?
The Cure, and he just thought that was...
Disintegration
Visitom
album?
Music. Yeah.
That sounds...
So we would hear it and we'd know to stay away from the bedroom. Like, okay, leave him alone, stay out of the house. Maybe leave for 15 minutes, come back. For me, I like romantic kind of music, piano music.
Oh.
You know, not Liberace or anything, but like...
A little Beethoven, a little Bach, a little...
This guy, Michael Nyman, who did the music for The Piano, and did you want me to see the movie The Piano?
Well, first, hold on a second. I gotta hear, before we get into more Jerry Nunn love situations, can I get The Cure? Do you have that one, Ari? Have you found... Because this sounds really awkward. That's
And he was very alternative.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. He's actually with the same girl from college.
She's like Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, well, he looked a little like that. He had like bushy hair.
Seems like a very fast pace on that situation there.
Yeah. So what about you?
What was the... And then you had Beethoven, what'd you say?
No, not Beethoven. I'm not like an intellectual kind of lover.
You said some concert guy. Who'd you say?
I said Michael Nyman. He's a composer that did like The Piano and stuff like that. He's really good. He's
Michael,
really dramatic.
Michael Lyman.
Nyman. He's an old...
Nyman. N-Y-M-A-N? Should I know who that is?
N-Y-M-A-N, yeah.
Yeah.
He did The Piano. He did, I don't know. Some really great soundtracks.
So no. Now, here we go.
Yes.
Doesn't this feel personal? Now we're playing your love music right here, Jerry.
No. Oh my God, it's getting hot in here.
So Jerry's got he's got his one candle going, and his Nyman tunes.
Yes.
And no tree.
But there's no words to distract you. It's just like nice romantic.
Right. Right.
Are you feeling it? I'm feeling it.
I don't know if I'm feeling it, but that's outstanding. People are texting in 312-981-7200. Santana?
Huh.
Europa?
Okay. Guitar?
Yeah, I don't... Santana, Europa seems like...
I don't know.
I mean, again, like I feel like I'm going to go out and run a race more than...
Well, it's a little Latin flavor. It might be nice.
Right, okay.
Spanish guitar.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Get it.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Ooh.
That is really good. That's a good tip.
Yeah. That makes me think of, my favorite artist, Mark Knopfler, Dire Straits.
Okay.
So, trying to think.
That's not romantic music, though, right?
It's not. I mean, but, you know, if you love the artist so much, maybe, you know, you could just incorporate it.
Yeah.
But can't say it's ever happened. So I got to work on that one, Jerry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to work on your game for 2019.
312-981-7200. The music that gets you in the mood on WGN Nightside. Ken, calling from Grant Park. Are you in the park right now, Ken?
No. This is Grant Park, Illinois.
Oh, okay. My bad, Ken. What's...
The name of the song is Bolero, and it's by a fella called Ravel's Bolero.
Yeah.
And the song starts out, it's all music, starts out slow and builds and builds and builds. And it's, I mean, to me, it's just really exciting. It's just, if you have to hear it to understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. And they like add an instrument each time they're playing it. But I don't know if you've ever heard of it. If you can find it, maybe play a little bit of it.
Oh, that's a classic. That's really good.
It is. Have you ever heard of it?
Say the name again. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's Bolero by Ravel.
By Ravel.
Called Ravel's Bolero.
So, wait, hold on a second. Valero, V-A-L-E-R-O?
No,
it's Bolero. B-O-L-E-R-O.
B-O-L-E-R-O. All right, now Ari's on it. We got it. We're working on it, Ken.
And let's just throw that suggestion.
Yeah, great test.
Is this it?
No.
That's not it? I kind of like that one, Ken.
That's kind of fast. This starts out slow. Dun, 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 dun.
There you go.
Now we're cooking with gas, right, Ken?
Yes. And it builds.
I get it. We got a building situation. I see how you're strategizing, Ken. I got you.
It's a 9-minute song.
Okay.
Nine minutes. It's a good effort by you, Ken.
Okay.
Ken, we're gonna go to break on this tune. Thank you so much for your contribution. Yep, you got it. 9 minutes. We're not gonna play the whole full nine, but we got it. We're gonna talk about the stock market after the 8 o'clock news. 720 WGN.
You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Or hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just hop off the key and get yourself free.
720 WGN 807. Is there a connection between our guest and this song, Ari, or do you just want to hear Philly Slip Out the Back, Jack? Which I love the tune, by the way. It doesn't have to be a connection at all. I'm just curious.
No connection. I just thought we played love music, so now I'm playing a song about leaving your lover.
All right. Okay. I got it.
Skipping the fun stuff, going right to the departure.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are taking a right turn here, Jerry. Now, we've got to get serious here, because I'm actually terrified myself, and I don't think I'm alone. Mm-hmm. Heather Long is an economic correspondent for the Washington Post. She has been immersed in the markets for a long time, and today was a crazy day. Up 1,086.25 points. That's just shy of 5%. The biggest gain in the history of the markets. Correct, Heather? Is that right?
Yeah, the biggest points gain. So that that almost 1,100 figure.
I mean. And then how many points do we lose on Christmas Eve? 600 and some odd.
Yeah, that's right. Almost 700. I remember one of the traders actually texted me and said, if you're going to midnight mass, say an extra prayer for the market. So maybe a lot of people did that, because we sure saw a pretty incredible bounce back today. You know, we're still not totally out of the water. It looks like this year is going to end in the red, certainly the worst year we've had in about a decade. So it feels a little bit like a burn, even though we're having a bit of a positive note here at the end. But the big question mark is, where are things headed in 2019?
Yeah, so what's your analysis of why we're up huge, down huge, up huge, and we've taken, about 6,000 points off the high about 3 months ago?
Yeah, that's right. Stocks hit that all-time high point at the end of September, early October, and it's been a pretty straight downward ride since. A lot of people are pinning it on a bit on President Trump. Obviously, that trade war is not over yet. Also on the Federal Reserve, keep raising those interest rates, which makes it harder to borrow money for businesses or for you and I to start a business if we want to. But the real kind of fundamental issue that's going on right now, and I wrote about this starting at the beginning of October, was there's this feeling that there's nowhere to go but down, which is kind of, you know, a little bit pessimistic, but in the sense that we are in the midst of the longest bull market ever, but it has to come to an end at some point. We've just had this amazing year for the economy, certainly the best year we've had in over a decade, which is great, but there's this, all these projections are that things are going to slow next year, and they're already starting to slow in China and in Europe. So it's sort of like this, well, how bad is it going to be? How bad is the slowdown going to be next year? And that's why we've seen all these jitters, and we've lost all this money in the market in the last 3 months, as people are saying, wait a minute, these stock valuations are too high. If we think that next year all of our favorite companies are not going to earn as much profit as they did this year. But the big but, and the reason we saw a rebound today, is so far, the U.S. data, the U.S. economy still looks very good. And what we saw today, Amazon saying they are having record sales, and MasterCard, one of our big credit card companies, said this is the best in 6 years for holiday sales. So people are saying, wait a minute, all this doom and gloom in the stock market, but the real people economy still looks pretty good.
Well, Heather, what do you recommend people do? Like, what's something they should do?
Yeah, Heather, save us. Let's put it on your shoulders.
I know. I was sort of mad at my colleagues at the New York Times. They ran some headline that this year we all would have been better off putting our money in the mattress.
Right.
That's sort of like the worst financial advice ever. But you know, it has been a rough year. It's usually when stocks are down, bonds are up, and that's just not happened this year. So even those of us with our diversified portfolios, you know, aren't having a great year. You know, honestly, I've been helping manage money and watch money, you know, ever since 2004, and it's horrible advice, or it feels weird, but you really have to stay, you have to keep your balanced portfolio. The people who try to get out, who try to exit the market, you have to time the market right twice. You have to get out at the right point, and then you have to get back in at the right point. Otherwise, you're going to miss that upswing, the next upswing that will come. So for most of us, particularly people, you know, who are under retirement age, it's hard. It's hard to watch these headlines, but you're best off kind of not messing with it.
Yeah, don't bail out. Okay.
Okay. Everyone likes to say, okay, let's go back a year ago. Donald, and maybe not even a year ago, the president wants to take credit for the economy, loves to point at the stock market. Now he's freaking out about the stock market. He wants to fire the Fed chairman. He said, the Fed's raising rates too much. And then other people say, the president has nothing to do with the market whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I generally believe that, Heather, at least on some, you know, certainly on a day-to-day level. But it seems like right now, actually, he is having a pretty large impact on what's going on.
I think you're right. Yeah, I agree with you 100% what you just said. Maybe you should open your investment fund. But we've been in this weird situation sort of in the past 10 days where there's not really a reality check on politics. There wasn't a lot of economic data coming out, and there wasn't a lot of earnings data coming out. So those reports on how companies are doing. And that left investors, you know, they're afraid of the slowdown. They're afraid of the Fed hiking rates, and they're looking at the White House, and we see, you know, Jim Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, leaving. You know, we see the president ranting about maybe wanting to take away the Fed chair's job. You know, we see sort of this tweets and ongoing signs that don't doesn't look like things are stabilizing. And so that's why you started to see the market really react more than it normally would to politics, because there just wasn't a lot of other information going on. And certainly what we saw Christmas Eve, worst Christmas Eve on record on Monday, was definitely a result of what happened over the weekend with Trump, the president, threatening to remove the Fed chair, and then Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin coming out and saying that he had called the heads of the top six banks in this country to talk about liquidity, which was like, wait a minute, what's what we did in 2008 in the financial crisis? If everything's fine, why are we doing that again?
Heather Long, economic correspondent of the Washington Post, with us here on 720 WGN.
Yeah. What else? Like, how did this all... I'm still trying to wrap my head around everything,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, and I mean, Heather, let me ask you this. All right. We've got a huge deficit, right?
Yep.
Okay, that's just continually growing. We cut taxes. We're spending more. We are in a tariff war that we started. Companies have good earnings. People are spending a ton of money. You go out on a Monday night to a random restaurant, people are out, and then you go through the you go through the Christmas season. Everyone's buying up everything at Amazon and everywhere else. So the economy seems to be moving here. I'm just wondering my fear is if we have some big sell-off here and people actually start to get scared and really scared, like we break the lows, we go past 21, we're down in the 20s, we hit the teens, 19, 18, whatever. I don't have any confidence that there's going to be sort of an intelligent basis of how we get out of it, right? Do you see what I'm getting at? I did not ask that as clearly as I wanted to, but...
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I mean, normally being down about where we are now, people would say, okay, this is a little rough, but it's not the end of the world. We've seen markets down like this before, and it hasn't necessarily led to a recession. But I, just what you're saying is the big fear that there's going to be some spillover effect, almost like the domino effect, and people, and suddenly what would be kind of a normal market downturn could actually spill over into the real economy, which by all intents and purposes looks pretty good right now, very good right now heading into 2019. But if people, I think the thing to watch as the clock strikes on New Year's Eve, keep an eye on consumer confidence, because right now it's still very high, and that's why you and I and all of our friends are going out and opening their wallets and spending big this holiday season and giving to charities and all that good stuff. But if that confidence goes, then we're in a big problem, because the bulk of the U.S. economy, 70% of our GDP, comes from consumers spending. So when that gets rocked, then we got big problems.
Right.
Wow. Good advice, Heather. We're going to watch that.
Right?
Yeah, but I'm DJing.
Well,
I'll be watching that.
It's, I mean, if you go back to, you know, right around the end of Bush's term before Obama got in office, and I'm not trying to give all the credit to Obama for turning around the economy at all. I think that there was a lot of people at that time that made reasonable decisions that ended up in us having this huge bull market that's gone on over for 10 years. Mm-hmm. But people, just to the consumer part, people were not going out then. You could get like a weekend to San Francisco from Chicago for like $300 to fly out there and get a hotel too. I mean, things were dirt cheap.
Restaurants. I was working at restaurants and they were not going out to eat then. I remember that very distinctly, a weird time.
And that's not going on right now, which that's the only thing that's giving me confidence, Heather, which I guess you agree with that. But so you're saying pay attention. If we start going out on Tuesday night and no one's around, that might be the time to consider getting out. Although you don't think you should ever get out, because it is hard to guess at the market. How do you think we start the year off here in 2019?
It depends if we're still in the shutdown. Because if we're still in the shutdown, we're not going to, it's this weird quirk where some of the agencies that are closed, that are shuttered up, are actually the very agencies that produce the economic statistics. So I'm like you, I look around and the numbers, and kind of as I travel the country, I'm seeing a lot of people spending money. I'm also seeing a lot of people going to those restaurants. I'm friendly with a lot of truck drivers, and they are just, you know, getting way more orders and way more pressure to deliver than ever before. So I think once we hit January, and that end of January, we'll start to get more economic data and more earnings. And I think that might stabilize things if we hear more companies saying, like Amazon did today, that they're having record sales, that things look very, very good, that they're beating expectations. If that happens, I think we stabilize, if not go higher. If it doesn't happen, we got some real problems.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Heather, thank you so much for taking time. I think I feel like we're not going to have a crash, but like part of me feels like we could have a crash. Mm. But I, but that's it's actually a good sign, right, Heather? When people are scared, that generally is priced into the market, and when people are completely overconfident, that's when you really should be worried. And right now, I don't sense that people are super overconfident with the market. I think most people are pretty terrified right now as to what's going to happen.
I think you're right. Probably in the summer, people were too euphoric. The prices were too high. And probably right now, they're a little bit too low. And that's why we saw that big bounce today. And we'll see what happens in the final trading days of the year, the next 2 days. I think for the moment, it's kind of breathe, do a few yoga poses,
and
ring in the new year.
All right. Going to do a nice cat-cow. Thanks, Heather. Appreciate your time.
Take care, guys.
Heather Long, economic correspondent at the Washington Post. I think I feel a little bit better. We're going to do some cat-cows, a little downward dog, do an up dog, do a tree pose.
Sure.
You do yoga, Jer? You do yoga?
I've tried. I think it's relaxing. It's great.
You get relaxed during yoga?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You get mindfulness?
I feel like I'm going to... I'm the only time I relax in yoga when it's over, and I made it.
It's all about the breathing and everything. Come on.
Yeah, I don't breathe correctly. There's a breathe in, no, going out. I always have it wrong. But I'm working on that, Jerry. It's not, you never want to be hard on yourself in yoga. Mm-hmm. You are where you're at in your practice.
Right. I'm not very flexible, so I'll tell you that.
Well, that's fine. It's just you are where you're at. You're just looking for 1 degree better.
Okay.
With each.
I can do that.
With each moment in yoga time. Uh-huh. 720 WGN. 824. Dollar bill, come on now. We're going to talk about the wrestler who was forced to cut his hair after 8:30. Which is one of the more ridiculous stories that I've come across. Although Jerry Nunn apparently is a rules-following, rules man.
I mean, these guys get paid a lot of money, these sports guys.
Okay. So
and they have, you know, hair sticking out of the helmet. They got long hair. Like, they're getting paid a lot of money. I've worked jobs where you had to have a clean haircut. You had to have all kinds of rules. You know, why not? Why wouldn't it be?
So, okay, so you're like... You're with George Steinbrenner and the New York Yankees. Of course, George's not around anymore. But he was
with him.
But he was the guy who wanted all New York Yankees to a clean cut, no beards, have a nice haircut.
They're getting paid for all that. It's their job to have the look too, right?
Why can't you have a little bit of style in life, Jerry? Why can't you have a little flowing
hair?
There's
ways you can do that, but I don't know. Well, I mean,
so hold on a second.
I'm very conservative in some ways.
Okay, this is interesting. So you're very conservative. So a professional athlete should look like he's in the military, is basically what you're saying?
I mean, isn't it safer? What if somebody like pulls their hair? Mm. Or there's not a hair pulling in football.
I suppose somebody could. That would be illegal, yes. But okay. What about a baseball player? Mm-hmm. He's standing at the plate. He's out in the outfield.
Okay.
No one's going to do anything with it. It's just the look. You think that it's, and they want, the Yankees want their guys to look like that because it's makes them look professional.
A polished look. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And our fans can be proud because all our players look very well put together. Like they're doing things the right way.
Maybe a little pocket square. I'm just kidding.
Pocket square on the baseball game. Well, and the story that we're going to talk about is a high school kid who is African American and had dreadlocks and was wrestling in a tournament, and he had wrestled with this hair, and then a referee comes in there, sees this kid, and says, this doesn't follow protocol. These are not the rules. You can't have hair that long. You either are going to forfeit or you're going to have to cut your hair right now. And they made him, he was, you know, they boxed him in. And so there is coaches arguing for him, and we've wrestled like this before. And he ended up cutting his hair so he could wrestle.
But that was in the rules before all this? I mean, that's...
Yeah, but aren't you... Like, okay, there's the rules. How'd you get here tonight?
I drove.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You think you went over the speed limit?
A little.
Okay, should you have gotten a ticket?
Possibly.
But you didn't.
I didn't, right?
Right, you broke the law, Jerry.
Right.
Well, you should have gotten a ticket then, shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Did you ever cross the street when you shouldn't cross the street? You broke the law, Jerry.
On the way here, actually.
Should you get a ticket?
I should, yeah, but they don't enforce these laws here. So that's what you're saying, that it's not forced.
Right, but you going over the speed limit, that hurt anyone?
Did it hurt anyone?
Yeah.
It could have.
But it didn't.
Right. That's why we have the rules. I get it. I mean, we don't, you know, people jaywalk in Chicago all the time, right? It's not enforced here.
Ari, are you a rule follower? I want to know who's on my team and who's not on my team.
I'm an incredible rule follower.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, what rule do you break that even as a rule follower? What rules do you two rule followers actually don't follow, but yet you think that you should be in trouble for? Like, let me ask okay, if it's 3 a.m, all right, you're out in some rural road,
right,
and it's a red light, okay, and there's a sign that says no turn on red. It's 3 a.m. No one's around. Can you turn right on red, or are you breaking the rules?
No, I wait.
You wait.
Yeah, absolutely not. You can't do it.
You can't do it.
No.
You're serious.
Uh-huh. Dead serious.
Oh, my God.
I mean, what bothers me about this story, though, is that it maybe was not enforced on other people, and why on this guy? That's what bothers me.
Well, that part, too, is the most disturbing part, that here's an African-American kid on a team of mostly white guys, and for some reason, this referee's got a problem with this kid. We'll get into it coming up after the 8:30 news. Let's take a quick timeout, Don Klepp, and we'll update you on what's going on next, 720 WGN. WGN.
Yes, a little Katy Perry.
That's right. 8:35. Like that little boogie move I just showed you, Jerry?
Yeah, you got moves.
I mean, I was sitting down in my chair, just did a little shimmy shake, so let's not, I don't want to, you know, misrepresent to the radio world out there, but I did give you a little something.
You did, yeah, I'm impressed.
All right, so we're going to talk about just a disturbing story about a high school kid, Andrew Johnson, 16 years old, who was wrestling in a tournament and was forced to cut his hair. Let's let ABC actually just set the whole thing up with the story here for you.
Disgust tonight over this video now circulating the internet of this moment of humiliation. New Jersey high school wrestler Andrew Johnson having his dreadlocks cut by a trainer before a match. He was forced to have his hair cut by a referee in order to compete or forfeit the match. It's standard for wrestlers with long hair to have the option to cover their heads, but the referee, Alan Maloney, would not allow it.
His hair's always been like that, so for them to now bring it up is out of line.
The Buena Superintendent of Schools releasing this statement today. The referee will no longer be permitted to officiate any contests that include any Buena Regional School District student athletes. Johnson's win, propelling his team to victory. But with a split lip and reluctant raise of his hand, he walks off the mat looking as if he'd just been defeated.
So there you go. That's how ABC sums it up. He's 16 years old.
Yeah.
This has been his hair the entire season. And the referee, Alan Maloney, who is white, Andrew Johnson, is African American, had a problem with that hair. And he didn't allow him to wear the cap over there. He said the cap was not sufficient. So this kid was put in the position, hey, you either cut your hair or you're not going to wrestle. And the coach is put in the same position where he could, I'm the adult here, this is ridiculous, I'm not going to allow you to bully this kid.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, bullying.
Right, I'm going to, not only he's not going to wrestle, but my team's not going to wrestle, we're going to forfeit and we're going to file an appeal here. That could have been a choice. Now you're penalizing the other kids here as well, but it's a teaching moment.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about rules are rules are rules. Technically, by the rules, his hair was too long. Now, he was allowed, supposedly, you know, be allowed to wear this cap, but the referee deemed in his interpretation of the rules that the cap was not sufficient enough to cover the hair.
I mean, it doesn't look like very long, though.
It's not
extremely long hair. I was talking about people with really long hair in professional sports. This is like a whole different thing.
This kid's got, they were like, his dreads were less than like 2 inches off his head. It's clearly, you guys already hit it. I mean, it's clearly, it was an issue that the ref had specifically with this kid for some reason.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I was reading one piece in The Guardian written by a guy by the name of Shireen Ahmed. He writes, I was 11 the first time I was racially abused on a soccer pitch. My coach stood by because he didn't know what to do, hadn't bothered to learn. 29 years later, it appears that not much has changed. I was reminded by the incident with Andrew Johnson, teenage wrestler. Not because he won an important match for his high school team, but because he survived an act of violence in order to do so. That's how he described it. That's how this guy felt back in the day. You know, and so it's just There's a whole world out there that, you know, rules are rules. And then there's also a world of bias.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't want to own that they are biased, that they have inherent judgments. And I would like to live in a world going forward where people would say, you know what, I am biased. I do have opinions on you that have been formed over time that mm-hmm. probably aren't correct, but this is how my, you know, this is what I've been taught, this is what I've been around, etc. And in that same world where people can step back, like this referee, I'm sure, mm-hmm. considering what's happening to him now, maybe he could have stepped back and said, you know what, I am not seeing things clearly right now because I have an inherent bias against this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Which he was not able to do. I think there's like a step that we could make where people just own that, you know, I think this of you, but yet I know that I'm wrong. That's really, you know, not every single thought you're going to have in life is going to be this pure thought, but the ability to step back and see yourself. If that makes sense, is what I'm looking for. Is what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I mean that's great. I wish people could be like that. They're not like that.
Yeah,
social media shows that people are not like that. They're not taking a step back and breathing before they post something or say something. And just it feels, I don't know, somebody who was bullied in school. You know, when I was a kid, I was bullied in school around sports really bad. I mean, I don't have a good taste for sports. You may not understand why I'm not on the same page with you with sports, but I have a, like, it's a trigger for me. Like, this is a horrible story that, like, upsets me so much that, you know, someone was picked on for being different. That's really what it's about. It's about him, this kid being different. And, you know, because there was other opportunities where they could have said something ahead of time and all that, and they didn't. I mean, he just went for it in front of people, embarrassed this kid, too.
312-981-7200, your reactions to what happened and how this is not a completely isolated incident. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, I was just going to say you guys both brought up great points. I was thinking that to what you were just saying, Jerry, that with wrestling too specifically, it's, you know, there's a team and yet it's individuals in a matchup. So, like, I think about if something like this happened on a soccer pitch or like a football field or even basketball, it's just you've got other teammates standing by your side. You got people. There's something about that crowd mentality that might have made it a little, at least, less, you know, less difficult to absorb for the kid. But this kid was, you know, he's singled out. It's mm-hmm. he's a great wrestler, and he had nobody there by his side while this ref bullied him. And then to your point too, Mark, about people admitting their biases, like, that would be awesome too. I think people are very comfortable admitting that other people have biases, and yet they don't do so with themselves. And I think if people would be open to admitting or just acknowledging their own, they would also be more open-minded to changing those.
I hear it all the time from people. I don't see color. Yes, you do.
Yes, it's crap.
Unless you're colorblind.
Yes, you do. And it's okay that you see color. Mm-hmm. And we can actually have a discussion about it and what your judgments are. And then you can meet people of a different color from you and actually get to know them. And maybe the referee could have talked to this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And we could,
privately, right?
Right, there'd be a conversation. Hey, have you been wrestling with this hair the entire season? Yes, I have, ref. All right, well, you know, I normally would not allow, and just whatever the conversation would have been, mm-hmm. sit there with the coach. The coach, his name was George Maxwell. You know, he was, by some, he was considered a hero because, you know, he was defending his kid. But in the end, they allowed a woman to come up there and have this kid have his hair cut in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a, I would assume.
Traumatic for this kid,
you would think, right?
He's 16, absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, kids are very attached to their hair. I mean, that's kind of a trend. Kids, like, boys like to grow their hair out long now, and they're so attached to it. And I bet he was just devastated. I mean, poor kid. But I mean, it makes me think about, you know, the religion. There's so many religions where people can't cut their hair. There's all kinds of things like that. I grew up in the South where I had a girl at my school that never cut her hair. She wanted to be a country singer like Crystal Gayle and did not cut her hair, you know. And so there's private reasons for people not cutting their hair.
That too. That too. I don't think that was necessarily the case here, but that's also a great point, Jerry. 312-981-7200. A lot of good texts coming in here. If you want to jump in on the phone line, feel free. Jeff, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hi, there's another component to the story that had read, and that this referee had a previous incident, I believe during another wrestling match, in which he used the N-word during a match. So there's, I think, a more widespread component, and you see this in professional sports and corporate life and academic life in terms of organizations not monitoring what's going on or not taking action when the first sign comes up. So this referee maybe should not have been involved at this level. So this is just another part of the story that I just wanted to bring to you. So
yeah, thank
thanks
you
for taking
that.
My call.
Appreciate that,
yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah, okay, I really appreciate him saying that because, yeah, there is more to that story. We had a feeling.
Yeah, and look, we need... When stuff like this occurs, we're looking for leadership. And in a school setting, you would think that a teacher or the woman who was forced to come up and cut his hair, or I don't want to put it on the students, that's a little bit harsher, but an administrator, somebody would be trained, would understand, you know, how to handle situations like this. This is just a bad job all over the place. 219 texting, wasn't there any precedent on athletes that have dreadlocks? Haven't other wrestlers have had dreadlocks? What has happened in previous matches? Again, he had wrestled with his hair all season long, is my understanding. He definitely, and I did read that he wrestled with that same hair a week before. So, and there is... here, I can read you the exact rules of according to the NFHS wrestling rulebook, a wrestler's hair cannot fall below the top of a shirt collar in the back, below his earlobes on the side, or below his eyebrows. And if you look at the picture here of the young man, the dreadlocks do go below his earlobes. They're about halfway down the ear. They don't cover his eyebrows. It's not really even... I mean, it's not long hair.
No, it's not.
Even if it was long hair, it shouldn't really matter. Computer just crashed. That's not good for me, which means that I can't read any of these other texts. Oh, well. 312-981-7200. Let me try to get that back up here because there's a lot of good texts. We'll take a quick timeout. Come on back here. 720 WGN.
30, 25. He's gone. Touchdown.
It was a long, determined road to the Big Ten West Championship. And now the Northwestern Wildcats take a well-deserved road trip to San Diego. New Year's Eve, it's the Holiday Bowl. The Northwestern Wildcats and the Utes of Utah. I'm Dave Edit. Our expanded pregame coverage starts from San Diego at 5. And Ted Albrecht and I have the kickoff at 6.
Hi, I'm Coach Pat Fitzgerald. Northwestern Wildcat football plays here, 720 WGN.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet 3 times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank Dynavite for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
At Joe Rizza Acura at Orland Park, every new Acura in stock is always on sale. And with year-end savings going on now, you save even more. During the Season of Performance event, you can take home a brand-new 2019 Acura RDX just $350 a month, or a new 2019 Acura MDX for just $325 a month. And with 0.99% APR on most 2018 Acuras, there's never been a better time to buy. Joe Rizza Acura on 159th Street in Orland Park. Visit RizzaAcura.com for year-end savings now.
Payments plus first month pay, tax, title, license, and doctor, up to 10,000 miles. 0% financing available on select models for 36 months. All finance offers to qualify.
Make a resolution you can keep. Redesign your home. Get up to 25% off almost everything in the store during the Walter E. Smith New Year Sale. Learn more at smith.com. That's smithe.com or 1-800-WITH-AN-E.
95 years of sports. Chicago's sports conversation as a whole. The Bears met the challenge. WGN Radio in 2019. 95 years young.
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal.
call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. 720 WGN, thanks for putting on WGN Nightside tonight. Great to be with you. Good to be with you, Jerry Nunn.
Great to be with you.
Still working through this little slight computer issue here. Don't worry.
Uh-oh.
We're almost there. The future is bright.
Yeah.
These things happen. I didn't... just trying to think back in time mm-hmm. to any circumstance where a kid was discriminated against like that, and that where, I saw it in high school, in college.
You didn't see it?
Not like this, no.
Oh, my gosh. I saw it in the South. I grew up in Tennessee.
Okay.
I remember second grade, my teacher treating this African-American student so differently than all of us, and singling him out and pinching him and pulling his hair and stuff. Like, I saw that in second grade.
A teacher
was doing this to a kid, and it was obvious racism. I knew it was at the time as a second grader. Like, I was upset by it, but we were all terrified of her.
That's
so, yeah. I mean, I remember early on and growing up the whole time, and you think they didn't like gay people? I mean, it was tough for me, like, growing up down there, and sports were a nightmare, man.
No,
gym class was not fun.
I can imagine. Actually, it's probably harder for me to imagine, but I can't imagine it being fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, why do you think I moved to Chicago, where I could at least, live in my bubble and at least, have a life that's not terrorized?
How old were you when you came to Chicago?
No, I came right out of college, so. I mean, things got better once I got into college, and, but, gosh, it was really tough, and that's why this is such an upsetting story for me personally, to just hear this kid was, treated like that. It's just not right. But the great thing is that people are aware of things like this now, that this comes out in the news, and it is spread through social media, and people are aware now, and this person's called out, on his bad behavior, so.
And I've been having fun all night with Derrick Rose over at the United Center, right?
Uh-huh.
But Derrick Rose has got, he's got dreads, he's uh-huh. got a headband on.
Okay.
All right?
Lengthier than the student we were talking about, for the record.
Yeah, much lengthier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 815 texting in here, his coach should have been aware of the rules and known better. That said, it should have been handled differently. The ref's an ass. Right. So that's the thing. People are saying the coach should have known better, mm-hmm. but the rules had never been enforced mm-hmm. on this young man. So, you could make the argument that the coach put him in this position. And that's the other thing. The coach could have stepped up at the time and said, look, this is on me. Don't mm-hmm. let's not penalize the kid here and have a traumatic moment.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been one thing that could have happened.
Right.
Didn't happen that way.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the rules are for. They're to be enforced across the board all the time, but people let things slide and then it just doesn't happen, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's how it works out.
There's one hysterical texter from the 224. Do we follow the rules of somebody that reserves a tennis court? Team Fessler. Now, that is a very loyal listener to me, Jerry.
Okay. Explain.
Well,
in a nutshell.
I don't know if we have time for all that. But,
a deep cut? Is that a deep cut?
Well, I had shown up at the tennis court to play, and we were in the middle of a match, me and a buddy of mine, on some, whatever it was, Saturday morning, and there were a bunch of courts, and this guy came up and was like, we're in the middle of the match.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I reserved that court. And I'm like, excuse me? What are you talking about? Go play on court 4, court 5, or court 6. No, that's the court I reserved. I'm like, are you kidding me? It was an outdoor court at a public park. I'm like, where'd you reserve the court? At reservethecourt.com. I'm like, are you?
Oh, he is lying.
So he literally, we had to leave the court. We left the court, and then about 2 weeks later, I was playing in a doubles match, and I was filling in on some team, mm-hmm. and I got paired up with this guy who had kicked me off the court. Yep.
Oh, wow. Who won?
we lost that match.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you better have sabotaged that, man. Start firing tennis balls at your partner. Like, that's not cool, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Other texts here, moving off my tennis life, which probably should have stayed in its own box, but I brought it out. 630, when was the rule written? 1938. Exactly right.
Okay.
At least in my mind. Look, teaching young men, young women, respect, mm-hmm. and following the rules and learning that, I think that's all important. You need to, if you have a dress code at school, great. Mm-hmm. If you need to, if you got to get to class on time or you're not going to play, I think all of that is very important for kids to learn at a very young age. Because the sooner you learn it, the better off you're going to be down the line.
Right.
But this is a different animal. Mm-hmm. This is about a kid being showing a little individual flavor, if you will. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's some deep lesson to be learned here, other than the things in the world are unfair. Mm-hmm. And which
well, there's
is,
women wrestlers. What about them? What's the whole story with having long hair with that?
I don't know. I'm unaware of that.
Yeah, the ladies of wrestling. Come on.
The ladies of wrestling.
You ever seen Glow on Netflix?
Yeah. let's see here. All right. 312-981-7200 is the text line here. So the referee should have to wear dreadlocks in the next match as a referee. That would be a good punishment. Move the ref. Sir, for what you've done to this young kid, you will now have to grow out your hair. And then we want you to add in some dreadlocks. Mm-hmm. That would be cool.
Yeah, some kind of dunce cap situation for sure for that guy.
Well, I would like to. I honestly would like to hear from the guy. Like, are you going to...
Yeah, there may be a lot more to the story.
True.
We'll find out.
And, Jerry, you made a point earlier about the social media thing. I think that's mm-hmm. just... that's this has been, I mean, we've seen it like with in different areas and certainly like with the NFL. I think the video evidence of these kind of things is really what garners the reaction and definitely what makes a story like this so widespread. I mean,
yeah,
this is not in any way like equivalent or even, so I don't want to make it seem like a false equivalency here, but like with the protests in Charlottesville last year, right, there were mm-hmm. the white supremacy thing, somebody died, and there was a lot of racism in two different sides with that, and mm-hmm. what ended up happening was there was the leader of the white supremacist group who got shown on social media. There was a documentary that came out, and after that, 3 months later, a follow-up showed that that guy was crying and couldn't go back to work and couldn't live in his community peacefully because he had been exposed mm-hmm. as a white supremacist cult kind of like leader. And I think that's sort of, again, that's not equivalent to this situation, but it made me think of it because with social media and with videos now, there's an opportunity for everyone to kind of learn a lesson from situations like this. When you see this 16-year-old kid getting singled out in front of his classmates, getting his hair cut mm-hmm. just to participate in a sport that he loves, and you know, adults are kind of standing by, it's like, all right, what can we take away from this?
Yeah, that video has been viewed over 15 million times.
15 million times.
So, people are seeing it.
And the way it was covered, too, one of the reporters came under huge fire, and he didn't even... at least in his mind, I don't think he had any poor intent whatsoever. But he called the coach or somebody a hero, and people just went bananas on him. Mm-hmm. So it's to your point, Don. I think that when this one goes on Twitter all the time, people say racist stuff, and what ends up happening if you say it to the wrong person who has a ton of followers, they end up retweeting it. Mm-hmm. And then all sorts of heat's coming down on that person, and the next thing you know, their account is disabled. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, which maybe at the end of the day isn't the biggest thing. They can go back to wherever they came from, but there is a power in the people right now, especially with the video and on social media, even just Twitter, that did not exist in the past.
I know these people, they feel that power. The little guy working at the convenience store suddenly has a big mouth on social media and can be a star or a hero or whatever, but I really see people's issues coming out all over social media. It's crazy. If you just sit back and watch, you can observe a lot of stuff coming out, and I've been really surprised with some of my friends from Tennessee that I thought weren't racist, and now suddenly everything's coming out, and they're mm-hmm. posting things, and they're doing all kinds of things that I cannot believe, and then everyone's like, you didn't know they used to say things, and I'm like, I think I just turned a blind eye to it or something, you know?
847's mm-hmm. texting in, did the kid know the rule before the season started? He can't claim bias now if he did not know it then. And again, he's been wrestling with that hair all season long. 815, I could see that some rules on hair are necessary in wrestling. You wouldn't want to get whipped in the face with someone's hair. Ref still is wrong. And it's also for his own protection, too, on some level, because... you know, you don't want a kid being grabbed by his hair and that type of leverage too. So there is a reason for the rule, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. he should have been allowed to wear the cap. And the bottom line is that the way it was resolved was completely and utterly ridiculous. We can move on from the conversation, but
yeah, right,
yeah,
for okay. sure, agreed.
All right, team. Thank you for everybody's reaction to this. I appreciate it. Nice to have the discussion, even though it's uncomfortable, I think. Final hour. I remember WGN Nightside. Mark Carmen and Jerry Nunn. It's 9:07. We have a magician coming up at the bottom of the hour, Jerry. Who's coming?
Jamie Allen.
And you saw the show, correct?
I saw the show on Sunday, yeah. It's the iMagician Magic Beyond Belief show at the Harris Theater.
And so somehow, some way, this is going to work on the radio. It's going to be amazing.
He's going to do something for it. Well, at least we'll be entertained. But I want to ask him where, you know, his history a little bit and find out, you know, how he got involved with the show. And
you can see the show at WGNradio.com. But I'm telling you, this guy's so good at magic. Mm-hmm. He can do magic on the radio. Right now, though, we have an opportunity for you. 312-981-7200. Do you want a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks and the Boston Bruins, the Winter Classic at Notre Dame Stadium, New Year's Day, noon puck drop, 312-981-7200. If you want tickets, call right now. Now, there is a catch, a couple catches, actually. You're going to have to answer a trivia question from both me and Jerry. You're going to have to get them both right.
Yeah.
Now, these may or may not be the most difficult questions that you've got going.
Yeah. But mine's not too hard.
Mine are, I'm going to, my questions, I want a Blackhawks fan.
Okay.
I want somebody who,
like with a poncho?
Yes. We'll take those calls. We'll take 312-981-7200.
Oh, they're ready.
Yeah, no, so if you're just, we'll take the first five callers at least, Gerari. So just whatever, Jerry's going to have a question that is going to be not about sports. I'm going to have a question that is about, the Chicago Blackhawks. So if you're a Blackhawks fan, you got a good chance at winning here. 312-981-7200. Now here's the other catches if you're calling in. First of all, leading up to the game, be sure to visit the Blackhawks Hockey House, which is now open at 333 North Michigan Avenue, just south of the Blackhawks store, filled with one-of-a-kind team exhibits, exclusive Winter Classic merchandise, much, much more. And there's the NHL Winter Classic Park, which is a free fan festival in Millennium Park. You can enjoy the games, the food, drink, all of it. You can meet and greet, meet and get autographs from the Blackhawks December 29th through the 31st. Now, the winner, if you are on hold to win these tickets, you have to come down to WGN either on Thursday, which is tomorrow between 9 and 5, or on Friday between 9 and 2. So if you're on hold right now and you can't do that drop off so somebody else can win the two tickets. We're playing for two tickets here. You got to be able to come down on Thursday and or Friday. 9 to 5 on Thursday, 9 to 2 on Friday, 303 East Wacker in the city, upper level. Come on down. Enjoy it. All right. Jerry, do you want to ask the question first, or do you want me to ask the question
first? I can ask it first.
Okay.
Mine's easier, so it's a good warm-up for yours.
Okay. All right. I have multiple questions.
Okay.
So if you get if you get Jerry's right and you get mine wrong, that doesn't mean I'm going to ask the same question the whole way. I want to have flexibility
here. You can mix it up. Okay, sounds good.
Patty from Brookfield. Are you a big Blackhawks fan, Patty?
Well, I'm a Blackhawks fan, but I'm not really good with trivia.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well.
This might not work out well, Patty, but we're gonna give it a whirl here. Who will you go to the game with, Patty?
My husband. And he's not here, but he would know all the answers.
Okay.
Oh, well, we found a friend.
Well, let's start you with Jerry's question, Patty.
Okay.
Okay, so mine is about magic, okay? So it's going to be multiple choice, so you know it's not going to be that bad. Okay, what magician is most famous for making the Statue of Liberty disappear, levitating over the Grand Canyon, and walking through the Great Wall of China? Okay? So, your options are... I'll give you your options so then you can guess. David Blaine, Harry Houdini, Lance Burton, or David Copperfield?
I'm going to go with David Copperfield. No.
Go with it.
I'll go with Copperfield.
Yes. David okay, Copperfield. You got mine.
Sherry.
Yay!
You're just giving... All right. Okay. She's Patty, on a roll. You got one more. You have to get correct here. All right, you ready here?
I'm right.
Okay. What town did Patrick Kane grow up in? Where did Patrick Kane grow up?
Didn't he grow up in Canada?
Canada.
No, Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo, New York is correct,
yes!
Patty.
Patty got it.
Did you just did you Google that, Patty?
No, I did not.
Do you swear, Patty?
I swear I didn't Google it.
Okay. All right.
Yes, Patty.
Patty, good job.
She got the magic and the Blackhawks.
You're a winner, Patty. Congratulations.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
All right. Becky, Jason, Sean, Bill, everybody else who called, we apologize that you did not win tonight. Every show seems to be giving these away, so perhaps the show on after us. I'm not sure who's coming in after us. I think it's Patty, but maybe it's not. I'm not sure. But Patty from Brookfield is our winner tonight. We had one more here. Well, we'll save it for the magician. But there you go. Two tickets to the Winter Classic on New Year's Day. Jerry, you going?
I would love to. Be fun.
Yeah?
For the snacks.
For the
the food, right?
For the snacks, huh? I bet if you ask, you might be able to get some tickets around here, Jerry.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they have, like, the dessert suite and all that?
I don't think they got the dessert suite.
That's what I'm used to.
And you're going
to
be out in the, I'm not sure what the weather is going to be on New Year's Day, but you got to, you know, sit outside at Notre Dame Stadium. Can you handle the cold?
Oh, well, I got my Blackhawks poncho on, so.
Hey. There you go. And we need, let's be honest here, we don't want it to be too warm here. We don't want the ice melting out there.
True.
Right?
That's true.
And what's it going to be, 60 degrees tomorrow? What's the weather going to be tomorrow over there, Don?
It's like 50. And rainy.
Tomorrow we're looking at high of 50. That's right. Rainy and windy.
That's not good ice weather. We need a nice firm ice.
No.
But it's supposed to get chilly coming up here over the weekend, I'm aware.
Yeah.
All right. So the I'm loving the tunes of Ari tonight.
Yeah, I'm DJing this song on New Year's Eve.
Are you?
Yeah.
What do you
it's
mean?
It's a dancing queen. It's a disco party, I didn't tell you.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a disco theme. We're all dressed up in disco. I'm DJing disco music, and Dancing Queen is on my list.
Did you ever see my disco music video, Jerry?
No. Is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube, absolutely. Cav for Life, one of the great disco Staying Alive,
okay,
parody songs for LeBron James, where I predicted that he would go to the Los Angeles Lakers, which he did.
Okay.
Song was done in advance, Jerry.
Oh.
One of my more impressive sports moments.
You got to send me a link.
Yeah. Well, it's out there for you. Just Ari's got a grin on his face. Looks like he's found it already.
Did he?
I believe he has.
I said you got to send me a link so I could play it.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
If you search my name in Cab for Life, it'll pop up in there. But let us do a couple random stories that Hey, Jerry, you ever robbed a bank?
I have not.
No,
my cousin was a bank robber, but I'm not.
Was your cousin really a bank robber?
Yes, she did. Yeah.
Did she go to jail?
Yes.
For how long?
Armed robbery, everything.
You have a cousin who robbed a bank?
She's a bank robber.
That's
she
so
would
cool.
Go to, like, oh, that was not cool. It was an embarrassment to the family. It was in Oklahoma.
It had to be multiple banks if she's a bank robber, right?
She did different counties. It got really complicated.
Are we talking like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid here?
She was like, I've got to save money for my kids. So she was trying to
rob banks. Whoa, for the kids? That's like a plot of a movie right there.
I know. I thought about writing her story.
Not a bad idea.
They came to her house. They caught her.
What would the story sound like?
I mean, it would be a tragedy.
How old
was
she?
This was not that long ago.
You have a cousin who robbed a bank.
Yeah, she's a bank robber.
She's a bank robber.
Like, she's like, I have a gun, but I don't think she actually had a gun.
Well, did she have a stick?
Something.
Yeah, because the story that I'm talking about.
We got off track there.
The guy who had
about my family, I could talk all day.
It's unexpected, I think, confirmation of that, yeah.
Well, this guy, a man accused of robbing a bank branch with a stick, was captured after he fell out of a tree. I mean, if you don't talk about that on the radio, I don't know why you even do a radio show. Michael Taylor was 30. He was arrested. This happened on Monday. After a four-hour search, he was charged with armed robbery, resisting arrest, failure to stop for police. He allegedly demanded money from a teller similar to Jerry's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
She's in jail now?
She got out.
Mm-hmm. Escaped or let out?
No, she she served her time.
Okay.
How long did she have to serve?
This was years.
How many years?
I don't remember.
Can we get her on the air? Would she talk about?
You want to talk to her?
I wouldn't necessarily.
I kind of cut off ties. She kept asking me for money.
No.
Oh.
that would seem to be.
Yeah. She didn't rob you.
No, she didn't. She lived in Oklahoma, so she couldn't get to me.
But smart. We'll get back to your cousin in a second. Taylor demanded money from the teller at the People United's bank on West Street. This is in Massachusetts. 9:30 in the morning, this Taylor, 30 years old, walked in. His weapon in the Christmas Eve robbery was a stick. You know, he acted like he had the gun with the old mm-hmm. stick move.
Right.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just use the finger gun in your pocket? If you're going to use like a prop, why would you use a stick?
He went full stick. He then fled the bank in a red Jeep, and then state police spotted the Jeep, was going south. They tried to pull him over. He didn't stop. He got out of the car. He ran into the woods.
Yes.
And then they set off the search, right?
Released the hounds.
They released the hounds. And this guy was getting away from the hounds for a while because he was up in a tree.
Okay.
But then the branch on the tree broke and he came crashing down to earth. And
full circle. You use a stick to rob a bank and the stick fails you when you're trying personally to escape.
Police Chief Jody Casper, the tree branch that the suspect was standing on broke, sending him to the ground, sack of stolen cash in hand. And that was it for good old Michael V. Taylor.
Really, you got to plan the escape route better than just the woods and a tree.
I mean, the dude went, can you imagine? You're running through the woods with a sack full of money, and now I'm going to climb up this tree and hope for the best.
See, like a cat.
I'm picturing more like one of those silent movies, like black and white, and like the goofy, you know, soundtrack going, and he's just running around these woods, and then he's got the old-timey bag with the dollar signs on it, and he scrambles up the tree trunk, and then just crunch, and he's done.
Like black and white.
if I was him, if I can try to put myself in the position of Michael Taylor, a man who robs a bank with a stick, if I was him in a tree and I had the money, I would try to, you know, say to the officers down there, I'd say, look, I'll throw the money down to you. You can just take the money and go, please just leave me in this tree and I'll come out in like 12 years. Just here's the dough. Rather than falling out of the tree.
Right.
You know, that was not a good move. But last chance, go bribery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he didn't, that was not, I mean, maybe he did, who knows.
But he's still going to be charged. I know this from my cousin.
Yeah.
You can still get charged whether you had the gun or not. I mean, he's still going to be, it's still armed robbery, even though it's a stick.
Even though he's got a stick?
Right. Wow. It could be anything. You could just say you have a gun and that's bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
I know. Didn't pay for my cousin.
Or this guy.
Do you ever see the movie Jackie Brown?
Of course, okay. I owned it. I think I have it at home. Yeah.
So what?
I love her.
What were you in? What were you in jail for, Robert De Niro? I forget his armed robbery. Wow, I'm impressed. I'm kind of impressed by your. I've never met anybody who's even associated with a bank robber.
Right.
Oh.
Like, who has the? I mean,
my family. My family is crazy. They're from the hills of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Got a lot of stories.
All right. Let's take a risk here and put on Taxi Driver Bob, where the conversation can go any which way at any time. What's up, Taxi Driver? Merry Christmas.
That's not very nice to say about me. Just because I'm a little bit deranged doesn't mean anything.
Me too, Taxi Driver. We're one and the same there. What do you got tonight?
So I was wondering if this cousin was the hit of the Thanksgiving Day festivities at whoever's house.
She would have been, but she's in Oklahoma, so I did not go visit her. I kind of cut some ties with her because, she's always wanting more money.
Taxi Driver, are you equally impressed by me that Jerry's got a cousin who's a bank robber?
I am absolutely in total awe.
I would hold
that as a badge of honor instead of disgrace.
Yeah,
who could say they have a cousin who is female, who is sounds like she's young? How old is she?
Yeah, she's younger than me. Yeah, she's like 40 something now. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not too young, but yeah. I mean, that's impressive. I can't say that. Most people can't say that their cousin's a bank robber.
Right. So I have street cred now that I didn't even know about. I was embarrassed and ashamed, and now it's like, hey,
right?
I got a bank robbing cousin.
And also, is that guy that robbed the bank with the stick? Was his nickname George? Is he George of the Jungle?
George of the Jungle. Good one, taxi driver. Talk to you soon.
All right. You guys have a good holiday.
You as well. 312-981-7200. Are you more impressed with Jerry now that you know that his cousin robbed a bank? I'd love to talk to her. Okay. I got one more for you here, Jerry, this is more of an informational thing for everybody who's perhaps has not cleaned up their Christmas gifts as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you got to be smart about this. This is a little public service announcement from At the Carm and 720 WGN. Actually, let's put it on my shoulders here, because I don't know if WGN wants to own what I'm about to say. While you may be excited for your new Christmas gifts, what was the best thing you got, Jerry?
Oh,
did you get anything good?
Let's see. What did I get? Oh, I got a water pick.
Okay.
It's for my teeth, you know. I was so excited.
You got a water pick?
It's like a water flossing device. My sister got the same thing.
Yeah, did she?
She did, yeah. It whitens while you floss, yeah.
Yeah, you can use it in the shower and it goes, yeah.
Yeah,
my dentist pushed me for it.
Okay, well, congratulations. That's awesome. Okay. The last thing you want to do, by the way, is leave the packaging for that water pick.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You don't want to leave that on the curb. Mm-hmm. Apparently, this is the intelligent thieves like your cousin was before she got arrested.
Mm-hmm.
They look at the boxes that are outside homes, and if you got some big flat-screen TV, or in your case, Jerry, the water pick, if somebody wants to steal that water pick, they'll see that box, and they'll know that in that house is the cherished water pick. Next thing you know, they're coming inside looking for the water pick, and you no longer have your water pick. You've been robbed. So the point is to discard of your boxing. It's an advertisement for thieves. I never thought of this myself. So,
well, I mean, I live in a condo, so that falls apart right there because there's so many tenants, they're not going to know whose box is where.
Right. You're
it's a single-family home problem, I guess, right?
Right, and also the fact that you have a water pick. I don't think anybody's coming in to steal that.
It's pretty fancy. It's got a lot of attachments and works really well.
And no contact either. So I
it's
mean,
cordless,
even,
too.
Yeah,
mister.
Even if it's used, I mean, people could still grab that thing.
This is more for our either A, suburban listeners, B, people out in the... Mm-hmm. In the Netherlands here, or C, are incredibly wealthy people who have houses in the city.
It is Boxing Day, too, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
What is Boxing Day, Don?
It's a Canadian and English holiday, the day after Christmas, and I believe it has to do with, I don't know if it's boxing. Well, actually, let me read here. It's it's just a day off for servants and a day in Britain, anyway. It's traditionally a day off for servants and a day when they receive a Christmas box from the master. So, not exactly the same thing, but you could use it to get rid of your boxes if you'd like.
Awkward turn right there.
I should have read that before I brought it up.
Thought you were being clever with those boxes.
Yeah.
That's good, though. That's good. That's the thank you, Don. I think we all perhaps... Learned something. Right, right. Now, here's my last one. You happy with your wages over there, Jerry?
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a loaded question.
You want to make more money?
Yes.
Okay. Now you're not a sports guy.
Okay.
But I want to. You are, I think, an expert marketer.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to bring people together.
Sure.
So here's what I got for you.
Okay.
You want to become a CEO of a college football bowl game?
Really?
That's what you want to do.
Okay. What's the average wage?
So the Outback Bowl, which takes place in Tampa.
Okay.
The Northwestern Wildcats have played in it. It's one day out of the year the Outback Bowl happens. The guy who runs the Outback Bowl, his name is Jim McVay, sports executive. He's built his wealth over the past 30 years by running the Outback Bowl.
Okay.
Which is not like the best bowl. That's a second tier bowl. He makes $1,045,000, that's what he made last year, to run the Outback Bowl.
Wow.
That's like his whole job description?
That's his gig.
one game for a year.
$1 million because he partners with the Big Ten and the SEC, and he's got to get the, and he's got to get the advertising going and some. But basically, he's a guy that is focused on one game the whole season. By the way, college athletes don't get paid. This guy does one bowl game, $1,045,000
Wow.
And the people that are like, now that this has come to light, people say he's worth it. He's absolutely worth it. The deals that this guy makes. So, Jerry, I think you could put on a bowl game and bring some conferences together and some TV execs.
Yeah.
And you would do it for half the money, I'm guessing.
Right. I do the Puppy Bowl. I think the Puppy Bowl would be fun.
You might even do it for 25%. I mean, $250,000 for one bowl game. You want to? Would you switch out what you're doing for that? I mean, I know you love your job and all, and at the Tribune, and but you know, that's a
it's a tough decision, but yeah,
right.
I mean, money talks.
Right.
Puppy Bowl's a wider audience too. Might be you might even make a case that you get a bigger paycheck from that one.
Yeah, and a free puppy.
pretty impressive. $1,045,000 for running the Outback Bowl.
It's a lot of blooming onions, man.
Yeah, it's like, I guess so. Oh, that was one of the things he did, though, because you know a lot of them are like the Holiday Bowl brought to you by Outback.
Yeah.
He just made it the Outback Bowl. That brilliant move right there probably got him a $100,000 raise. All right, the Magician's coming in next. I'm excited.
Yes.
We're going to do magic on the radio. It's 9:31. Let's get a check of news. Here's Don Kleppen. Now everybody wants a breast of magic, 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 magic. Big moment in the history of WGN right now. I don't know if this has ever happened before, Jerry Nunn, and you are the leader here, just so you know.
He's going to bring it.
Okay, so we have in studio, as we're going to do magic on the radio, never done before, magic and tech, that's what goes on here. Jamie Allen, Natalie Love, the show's at the Harris Theater. You can see it, but you're going to hear it right now on the radio. I mean, you obviously want to go see the show, but we're going to do this right here, aren't we?
We're going to try it. There's a reason why you don't do magic on the radio, and today we're going to find out why.
Okay.
See, Jerry, you made it out that this is actually, everyone's going to feel magic right now.
Yeah.
I'm optimistic.
They're going to hear it through their ears.
You're going to love it.
Right? So what's the background here before we go any further? How long you been doing the show? How'd you become magicians? All that.
So we're at the Harris Theatre, and we've been touring our show, I'm Magician, in the United Kingdom for the last 5 years. So this is our first time in the States, though. And I've been doing magic since I was a little kid. I've been doing it since I was 5 years old. And Natalie works in the show, along with an incredibly hard-working cast.
I try.
Yeah. And, so our show is, a mix of magic and technology, because it's my belief that magic doesn't actually have to be solely about fooling you. I think that magic, when it's presented correctly, can just create this sense of wonder. It should be a puzzle. A lot of people watch magic just to try and work it out. But that's really the wrong way to come at it.
Right. So we're all trying to figure it out. We want to show how smart we are. See, I see what you're doing there. You got that card up your sleeve.
Yeah, and isn't that true? And of course, you want to have that puzzle. You want to be thinking about it. But the truth of the matter is, you don't really want to know how it works.
No, we don't.
Not really, because I think as magicians, we try to keep secrets for you and not keep secrets from you. Because once you know how a trick works, then there's nothing else left. It's because the answer is usually fairly simple.
In
essence, you go, oh, okay, well, that was that, and you never think about it again. It's much better to keep that with you. I hear great stories replayed to me about tricks either I've done or other people have done, that they create this incredible thing in their head about what it was and this experience and the way they describe magic that they've seen in their lives. It's often greater than it maybe it was at the time.
I mean, I grew up around magic. Like, I wanted to be a magician when I was a kid. I had, like, a little suitcase, and I had all my little tricks in it.
Do you still do any?
I performed in my garage. I mean, this is like, you know,
start somewhere.
70s. Yeah.
Well, of course, Natalie does magic as well, but she's in the show, she works in a different context.
Yes.
But she's also a member of the Magic Circle in London, and we need that in our crew, is people that have a deep understanding of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's helpful.
And Who do you have as a favorite magician of all time? Do you have?
I think most of the magicians that I really, really love have sadly passed away. I think the most prominent would be Ricky Jay, who's just recently passed away, who had a show here in Chicago. But when I was a kid, his videos kind of started me on this path.
Oh, great.
My grandmother recorded a video of Ricky Jay performing, and I didn't know how the trick worked, but I just studied the VHS cassette over and over again with my dad until I could work out. And I learned the sleight of hand moves just by staring at it again and again and again.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. And I still do a version of that same trick in my show today.
I remember. I got to see it on Sunday and had a great time.
Yeah, why don't you explain the show for just, you know, you walking in there. Jerry, you were there.
Yeah. It'd be good to hear your view on it. I've never seen the show, so I'd love to know what it's like.
It's a huge venue. It would be tough to do some of the close-up magic, but you project it onto big screens so everyone can see. And, you know, there's three different levels to that.
It's a big old theater. Yeah, it's 1,500 seats, and it's a large, large theater. But, yeah, we try our best to try and make it reach to the back, and we do use HD cameras close up on the hands on projection so that people can see it. The show's not just about close-up magic. We have large-scale things in there as well, but a lot of people come away talking about the close-up magic elements of it, funnily enough.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's good for kids. I mean, it's good for all ages.
Well, we use a lot of people from the audience. We have a lot of people up on stage and things that happen in the audience and on the stage, and just to try and really involve everybody. It's a very interactive performance, I think.
Yeah.
So are you guys together on stage? How's that work? What's that look like?
We do a couple of the routines. Yeah, absolutely.
I help a lot with the bigger things.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm the helping hand.
Do you ever get sawed in half, anything like that?
Literally do.
Yes, actually do.
Good guess. That's there.
Yeah, we do a iMagician is about mixing magic with technology, but it's also about trying to find new ways to look at, you know, a very, very old art form. So we try to take an illusion from the past and see if we can find a more modern way of presenting that to today's audience. So we do the classic soaring in half illusion, but with a table that's just, you know, made of metal. It's half an inch thick, and the girl lays on the top, and we put glass boxes over the top of her and cut her in half with a laser beam, and then separate the boxes. So it's a very, very clear view of that classic trick. You know, and it's a different way of doing it.
Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night, Natalie, and feel like you have been sawed in half?
You have no idea how many bumps and bruises I have.
Really?
That's insane.
I'm willing to believe anything's possible. Are we really going to do a trick right now?
Yeah.
We're going to try something. And whenever I come on the radio, I like to try and do something which scares me because I don't know 100% if it will work or not.
Okay.
And I also think that if it doesn't work, then we get good entertainment value out of that equally, but if it does work, it will be a better trick.
Okay.
Yes. Now, and unusually, I'm going to explain to you how I'm going to do it, because that will make it more impressive if it works.
Okay. Perfect for the radio. Yeah.
So what I've done here, and I'm going to show you guys, I think this will work for the radio because it's not a secret. I've taken a deck of cards and I've memorized them. Now, as you're glancing through these, you'll see there's no particular order to them, and that's because the way I memorize the cards is I just shuffle them and then keep dealing through them again and again and again. It's a process that takes me. I know there's a world record on this, and I think somebody can do it in like 3 or 4 minutes. This took me an hour.
Okay.
And I think I've got them. And
so you've got a deck of cards that you've memorized every card after the other, so you're not going to actually shuffle them.
Which is why I wouldn't offer you to shuffle them, because I'm telling you the trick won't work, because it's not a trick.
Okay.
But what I've done is I've gone through and I've memorized the order of the cards. So what I'm going to do is ask one of you, who would like to do this?
Okay, I'll try it.
Okay. So what I'm going to do, from this distance as well, because for the viewers at home, we're sat maybe almost 6 feet away from each other at the moment.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be slightly harder, and if you don't mind, I'm going to put my glasses on for this.
Okay.
Good move.
Because I need to try and watch your eyes. So I'm going to show you the deck of cards.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you to try... Do you play poker?
No.
No, okay. That makes my job slightly harder, but I think we can do it. I'm going to show you the front of the deck,
okay.
And I'm going to ask you to try and look at it. In fact, do you want to do it? Because you say you play poker.
I do play poker.
Let him do it.
I'm going to show you the cards, and I want you to remember one card in the deck. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds, and I'm going to try and watch you while you do it.
Okay.
You remember one, and you've got one.
I got one.
Okay. Now, I have an exercise in card control, which is I'm going to give the cards like 3 cuts.
Okay.
Because that won't really change the order that much. I've not really shuffled them. I've just staggered it, so we don't know exactly where it is in the deck.
Okay.
Well, I think I do. So
this would be amazing.
No, well, don't get ahead of me on this.
Okay.
So in a pack of cards, you've got all of the high-value cards, and a lot of people tend to jump straight to a high-value card. You might not, or you might because you're a poker player. Was your card a high-value card, or was it a...
I would say mine is a... not a high-value card, no.
Well, then it's going to either be a low card or a middle-y card. Would you say it was a middle-y card?
It was a middle-y card, yes.
Okay, look, I'm going to try and commit here. So, look, I've cut the cards, yeah?
Yeah.
For the viewers, I've cut the cards, so I can't do anything at this point.
We got one card. We got one stack in the right hand, one in the left hand. That's what's going on.
So, for the first time, I can't change anything. Tell me the name of your card.
My card... Natalie's staring me down here. My card is the Eight of Diamonds. Wow!
What?
He's got it.
He got it! Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So good night, guys.
Okay, he's done.
I feel like I let everybody down. I should have picked a different card.
No, that was good.
Yeah, and that's just an exercise in trying to estimate, you know. And if you're practicing enough, you can kind of get to a point where you can guess the value of the cards, the amount of cards you hold in your hand, you know, the weight. And it doesn't work every time. It's not 100% consistent. Uh-huh. I really have no business doing it on the radio, but we're already open.
You did great. That's awesome.
For the record, there was no partnering here beforehand. We're just going to say the Eight of Diamonds, and you're going to show me the Eight of Diamonds, and it just happened. None of that happened.
We switched it up, too. Like, at first I was going to go, and then you went.
Right. That's all true, too.
We threw a little card, a little curveball.
So it was the poker thing that won it over for you.
I'd like to just throw this out to the text line, 312-981-7200. Was that amazing magic on the radio? Like, should we make this a thing? Magic on the radio. Do we pull it off? I just want to know if people found that to be engaging.
I was engaged.
Ari, were you engaged in there? Can't hear Ari.
I had to come in and get a closer look. It was pretty cool.
Yay.
He looks thrilled.
Thank you.
So how much longer? You're here through December 30th?
We're here through December 30th, yeah. We have three shows on the 29th, so that's going to be a busy day.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, we're on most evenings, and I think on the 30th we have an early show. Is that right? I think it's around 2 o'clock. Or
yes.
Amanda's strutting around in the background here, and she probably knows better than me, but I think it's around
just
about...
Just turn up and hope for the best.
Okay.
Ready?
No? Yeah. Would you say it's more for adults or children or both?
It's
for all
it's
ages.
A family show.
And that's always surprised me is the when we started doing iMagician, we thought it was going to appeal to 25, 30, 40 year olds, but actually when we look out, it's everybody is in the audience. And we try to do something for everybody. There's classic large illusion, and there's some things you have to think about a little, but you know, the one thing we promise is you'll see magic you've never seen before in your life.
Absolutely.
That's our absolute promise.
Right. And a nice big water trick, so that's going to be good. So people can get tickets at harristheaterchicago.org.
Yeah, and we're on at 7:30 tomorrow night and the night after, and then we have shows at 2, 5, and 8 o'clock on the 29th, and we're on again at 2 o'clock for our matinee on our last day. Okay. So you still have a chance to get in.
What's your favorite thing about Chicago so far that you've gotten to take in?
I think so far, we went up to the 360 yesterday, didn't we?
That
was awesome. The thing for an English person that just doesn't get old is just the scale of it, the height of the buildings.
Everything is huge.
Oh.
It's amazing.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Can I tell them my favorite thing?
Yeah.
So, like, 2 hours ago, Jamie proposed to me.
Oh, wow.
What?
So this is, like, my favorite thing ever.
Oh, my God, congrats.
But he did it in, like, the most amazing, literally magical way ever. And the ring appeared in a historical magic prop.
You gotta be kidding.
I'm not joking. Literally, like, 2 hours ago.
No, it is true.
Oh,
so this is forever my favorite city.
Okay.
You guys got engaged tonight and you came to WGN Radio?
Well,
yeah.
Because earlier Nat got the email to say we're going to come down here, and I said, I can't say that we're not going to go, because of course we're going to go.
That's keeping a commitment. This is a good catch.
So, will you marry me? And by the way, we got to go to the radio station right now.
No, she was the one that told me we were coming to the radio station.
I was like, I need to clean my makeup. We're going to the radio station.
Congrats, guys.
I said, we're going to find a way to make that work.
That's so
But
awesome.
Apart from that, genuinely love this city. I got greeted by Santa Claus when I landed. It doesn't get better than that.
That's hard to beat right there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Can you, Jamie? Please, just for us men who are considering these type of engagement things, what did you do? How'd you pull it off? Give a little tip for the men out there.
Well, she was fascinated. Have you guys heard of Ricardo Rosencrantz, Dr. Rosencrantz? He's a magician here in Chicago, and he had a very historical piece of engineering that was created. You saw the show the other night. The opening text of the show says the orange tree, and it's about a mechanical device that was created in the 18th century, which was a tree which blossoms, and oranges appear on it, and butterflies come out of the tree.
Didn't they do that in The Illusionist?
Exactly, yes, they did do a version of it in it, yeah, in that movie. And it's beautiful. But it's based on a real thing. It was it was Robert Houdin's. And we talk about it in the show, and Dr. Rosencrantz has actually got it here in town.
Wow.
So I tracked him down and managed to get the ring in it.
Oh, wow.
Because she was so excited to go and see it.
So, yeah. I was like, oh my goodness, we're finally getting to see it. This is incredible. So I was like watching it, absolutely amazed. Like, oh my God, it's happening. And then like music came out of it and I was, oh my God. And then the ring came out and I was like,
oh, it was a
what?
Wow!
It was pretty good, if I do say so myself.
You did that, well.
Yeah. He did good. He did good.
That's amazing. Congratulations!
Yeah. Thank you.
And congratulations on the show. It sounds amazing. And yeah, what do we got? Five shows left, if I was counting right.
Five or six?
Seven.
Six shows.
We've got 3 days. We've got four.
We've got a bunch of shows.
Yeah. So check it out at the Harris Theater. What's the name of the show again?
It's iMagician at the Harris Theater.
All right.
iMagicianLive.com.
All right. Well, congratulations, guys, and thanks for stopping in.
No, no, you're absolutely welcome.
History right there. Magic on the radio, 720 WGN.
Well, I'll be just saying goodnight.
I hate to go and leave this pretty sight.
It is always emotional when the show's coming to an end here, Jerry.
Yeah, The Sound of Music, too. Oh, such a good holiday movie.
Except Those Hills Are Alive, which is always freaky.
Those nuns, though, hey.
I haven't seen The Sound of Music in a long minute.
Oh, okay. I'll let you borrow my DVD. My collection.
You got that over there, huh? Hey, a reminder, make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. and stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. That was cool, having magic in the studio. Jerry, I think you pulled that off.
Yes.
Good work.
That was so cool. They got engaged.
They got engaged tonight.
Yeah.
He put the ring in the magic tree.
I know.
And then it came on out.
Wow. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. I kind of raised the bar right there. That's a little intimidating. By the way, Patty Vasquez is coming up at 10 o'clock. As she'll be here. That means in 6 minutes, maybe we'll get to talk to Patty if she wants to do some crosstalk. I'm sending it out to the ether. Patty Vasquez, you are welcome to do crosstalk.
I can just text her.
Oh.
If you want me to.
You you can text her as well. That would be
okay.
But you don't have to, Mr. Jerry. I just want to a couple things before we get out of here. First of all, I want to give congratulations to my guy who's gotten a rough ride, Jerry.
Okay.
A rough ride in the city. Out of Simeon High School, who rose up from, no pun intended, from not an easy situation, not the best, didn't come out of the best schools, didn't have the accoutrement that many people have as kids, just rose himself up to become arguably, at least for a moment, the greatest basketball player in the history of this city. Now, he didn't have the staying power of Isaiah Thomas or Mark Aguirre or others that you want to name, but the youngest MVP in the history of the league at 22, Derrick Rose. Then he got hurt. Then he said some things that people had a real problem with, even though there was no harm behind it. And tonight he came back to the United Center wearing a Minnesota Timberwolves uniform, said today that Chicago will always be his home. He's raising money for kids around here.
Wow.
Trying to do scholarships to provide a better life. And he had 24 points tonight, 11 for 19, 8 assists, couple of steals. And he also, his team won. The Timberwolves beat the Bulls 119-94, which is good for the Bulls, too, because losing is good and getting high draft picks is good. So props to my guy, Derrick Rose, for a huge night tonight.
That's a big night for the Rose.
Yes.
Played 38 minutes as well, which is
too many.
Higher than his average career-wise by about 5 minutes, it looks like.
Yeah, just not. That's the vintage Tom Thibodeau likes to run guys into the ground, true, which is part of the reason why he got hurt. Not to put it all on Tibbs.
Tibbs.
So There's a Derrick Rose moment for you.
Mm-hmm.
Before we bring Patty in, just any New Year's plans, Jerry, that you want to let people know about? I know you're always doing something over there.
Yeah, I'm doing my DJ gig in Wisconsin. DJ Nunn, remember? We're doing our...
Oh, right, at the country club.
Yes. So disco theme.
And we're all invited?
If you can get in. I don't know how much the tickets are. I think they're expensive.
Why can't you get a couple comp tickets for all the hard work we
Maybe.
Do?
You want a little roped off section and everything? Some
yeah.
Champagne?
Sure, why not? The way okay. we bonded? Come on.
I'll see what I can do.
All right. All right. Appreciate you. And thank you to Ari for producing tonight. The maiden voyage with you, Mr. Ari. You did a great job. Thank you.
Yes, hey, thank you. This is my sixth time, so this is wonderful for
number,
me. Thank
number six at WGN?
You both were my sixth.
All right.
Didn't you work for some big time people? I heard that you have like a little Ellen DeGeneres in your background over there. A little tiny bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just saw her stand up.
It's kind of intimidating to work with somebody who A, went to Michigan, and B, knows Ellen. But I hope we lived up to your standards
this
over there.
This is everything I imagined and so much more.
All right. And thank you to you, Don Kleppen, in the newsroom.
My pleasure, as always, Mark and Jerry. This was fun.
All right. Let me say hi to.